brother.
God bless you, brother.
You're going to share it with me.
Well,
thank the Lord that I can make it. Glad you're here this morning. All right, okay. I know one thing. I'm so thankful that when the Lord saved my soul, He put the desire in my heart to be with God's people. I don't know no one else that I'd rather be with today than God's people, I tell you. The world itself has nothing to offer me, but God's people, they have so much that they can offer each other. And sometimes we allow things to come about that will hinder us in doing God's work. If you will, turn to the book of Acts, chapter 2 and verse 42. You know, it's been a good week. It really has. It's been a good week, and the people that I've talked to, different preachers I've talked to, you know, God's still saving souls. And as long as souls are still coming to Him, I don't believe that he's going to come back after the church until after that last soul gets in. Where's that soul at? Who is that soul? I do not know. Only God the Father knows. And when that last soul comes in to the family of God, is saved, washed in the blood, the father going to say to his son, "Now, son, it's time. It's time." And I'm looking forward for that time. I really am. To see my Lord and my Savior. And I know I've got loved ones on there also that I'm going to be one time glad to see. But you know, the Bible says we're going to know them as we've known them, but we're not going to know them as husband and wives and sisters and brothers like we do down here, because we're going to all be married to the bridegroom. We're the bride. And you know, I got to thinking about that sometime, and I just wonder maybe if that's where some of the people get confused in the Word of God about things, but I think they take that and they misinterpret it. And they say, a bride? a male is a bride? Is a bride? Yes. We have to realize what the scripture is saying and what it means and how the words are used in scripture. Heaven is not going to be like any part than him. And I'm so thankful for that. Because this old body can't stand what's going to go on in heaven. That's the reason I believe he's going to give me a glorified body. He's going to give me a body unto the Son of God, because we're going to be shouting. We're going to be praising God. We're going to be thanking him. We ain't going to just be sitting around there. I think he is going to have something for all of us to do. And we're going to... Can you imagine they spend an eternity without sin? Can you imagine going through eternity without a pain? It ain't gonna be no wheelchairs there. Mr. Arthur and Mr. Ritus is not invited. They're not invited. They're not going. But I tell you what, it's going to be a glorious time, I believe, in that. But I just want to speak about the church this morning. The church, the true church. The true church is which is us as individuals, saved by the grace of God, washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, I think we have scripture that will tell us a whole lot about the church. Because anytime it's talking about, as far as an individual's life, a new beginning, they're speaking of a new church. Now, I know we as individuals, we kind of look at things a little different. But, and I know the churches, this church, Faith Baptist Church, I know it's down in number. But the only way the church can ever grow, and the only way it should grow, where we can go out there and tell people that the Lord is blessing and the church is growing, is seeing new souls into the family of God. And we should not be jealous of another church. I'm not jealous of no other church. Oh, God give them what they can take care of. And we should not be jealous of one another. We should be praising the Lord. Because in people, we're not going to be here long. We're not going to be here as long as we have. It's closer today than what it was yesterday. Because the things that's happening overseas, right here in the United States of America, right here in Danville, Virginia, things that are happening, you can see where the hand of God is being. But over here in chapter 2 and verse 42, and he's speaking about the church, and he's speaking about the successful church. I believe we can see all of that in this. And not only that, how it becomes a true and living church. And it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and prayer. and fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continually, daily, with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And over here in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 says, neither is there salvation but in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Paul, the Apostle Paul, he heard all about that, which at this time it was called, his name was Saul. And he'd heard about this Messiah. He had heard about the King of Kings. He had heard about the Lord of Lords. But it says, and they continually, steadfastly, in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayer. In the apostles' doctrine, the word doctrine right here means teaching. We must teach individuals how to take the Word of God and use it in a context it's in. We need to understand that we do have the doctrine. And I can remember a time, I don't know if I've told y'all this or not, but I can remember a time when I started going down to the city farm and holding services there twice a month. And I was going down there, and all of a sudden they come up, and with the 9/11 and all what's being changed through the years and everything, the security system and all of that, they come up and they said, well, you got to have a volunteer license. And says it's got to have your picture on it. And it has to say that you are come to the city farm. And I went down there and I met the chaplain that day. And when I did, I went out in there and I talked to him. And we sat down and we talked about the Lord and how good the Lord has been. And he was thanking me for what I was doing down there and everything. I said, well, I'm not doing nothing. I said, I'm just here because it's what God wanted me to be at this time. And I says, I enjoy it. And I always have enjoyed preaching. I love preaching. If it was anything else that I know of, besides preaching, that would be going out here and taking the Word of God and leading someone to the Lord Jesus Christ. But as I was there, he come up and he said something to me there. He says, you know, we have all types of faith down here. Says we have the Muslim faith, we have the Jewish faith, we have the Baptists, and we have the Pentecostals, and we have the Church of God, and we have all of that. And he says, you got to watch it when you go back out. I said, no, what are you talking about? He said, what I mean is you got to watch. You can't go back and teach, or you can't go back and preach the doctrine of God. You can't go in there and preach the doctrine that's in the Bible. And his Bible was laying right in front of me. And it was turned to me this way. And I asked him, I says, that Bible that you got right there, which I didn't agree with the version he had, but I won't get all that with him. Because I'm not going to get in an argument with nobody. But he asked me, I asked him, I said, you say you preach and you teach out of the Bible? He said, yes, sir. I says, look on the outside of the Bible and on the rim part. What does it say there at the top? He says, Holy Bible. I said, if that's the case, then what you need to do is you need to take that Bible and put it in that trash can. Because what you just said on the outside of that Bible, that's doctrine. Because God is holy. And not only is he holy, he's a just God. And he has no respect of person. He's an individual that wants to teach us the Word of God. But we get so wrapped up in a few things that we let it sidestep all the others. I says, now, I'm down here. And I says, now, I can't go back out. And I just can't pick out something and read a lullaby story to him. I said, because if I do that, I'm doing them more harm than I am good. Now, if you don't want me to go back and preach to them and try to help them to where they won't come back, then we're in agreement. But if you tell me I can't preach the Bible, then just let me know right here, and I won't get no pass and get my picture taken. I ain't wasting no more of your time. I said, but them boys back there, they need help. And they don't need man-made help. They need help from God Almighty. That's where they need help from. So we must teach them what the Word of God is saying. And I says, the Word of God says sin is sin. Same today as it was yesterday. Same as it was 3,000 years ago. Sin is sin. But they taught the doctrine. They was teaching how they can have fellowship in the teaching of the doctrine. We can have fellowship one with another as long as we get in there and teach what the Bible says. I will not and I cannot argue with anybody about the Bible. I can't do it. Because if I do, then what I'm doing is I'm arguing with the devil. Because the devil, he knows more about the Word of God than I do, more than you do, more than any human being of today knows. He knows this book inside and out. He knows how this book can be used in a way that we can think of that. Thank you, Lord. I needed that. But it's of the devil. We have to discern. We have to discern. We have to conclude which spirit are we going to follow. Now I believe that that my spirit will bear with someone else's spirit as long as we're in the same family. But if we're not of the same family,
We cannot bear the same spirit. Because the spirit that lives within me, the Holy Spirit, is saved. This inward body of mine is saved. It's saved not just for today, and not just for tomorrow, and not just, well, now I may get up Tuesday morning. Well, I don't feel like I'm saved today. That's how some preachers believe. That's how some preachers think. That's what some people, preachers believe. You can be saved today but lost tomorrow. Well, how come that they stand in the pulpit on Sunday morning? What are they telling me? What are they telling the people? Well, I'm saved on Sunday, but Monday I'm not saved. We're saved for eternity. God does not do anything half-hearted. He doesn't do anything wrong. He wants the very best for His people. He wants the very best for you. He wants the very best for me. And I heard a preacher say that one time years ago. I hadn't been saved about 7-8 months, maybe a year. And I couldn't quite understand that, what he was saying. But he was saying that, he said, God wants the very best for your life. He wants the very best for your family, and He does. Well, I said, well, why He give me a job to where I can make a little more money and I can give a little more to the church? And why do I have to work so late during the week at night, where I can't go to church on Wednesday night? Why does that happen to me? He did not promise me a bed of roses. Why should He promise me a billfold that's packed with $100 bills and allow me to drive a brand new Lincoln and live in a mansion out here when He was not even born in a mansion? He was born in a castle. What does it say right there here in verse 4 to 6? And they continually daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. We know that the Holy Spirit, the water, represents the Holy Spirit. We know that the bread speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ, where He was born there in a cow stable. So what gives me the right to allow me to have all of this wealth and everything and me live in a brand new mansion out here? And I can have heat when I want heat. I can have air conditioning. I can have it all. Why? Do you think people are going to come up, and if I go and if I talk to them, if I witness to them and everything, they're going to say, well, I know, preacher, it sounds good on your end, because you've got probably a pocket full of $100 bills and you driving that, looks like a fairly new or not new Lincoln Continental. And here it is, you live up at Windsor Heights. You got all this. And you telling me that you love me and Jesus loves me? You telling me all about all these things? And here I am, barely make it day by day. That's where God's blessing comes in. God will bless His people. And He blesses us more in other ways to where we don't seem all high and mighty.
I want to ask you something. Don't raise your hand, because I don't want to embarrass nobody. But would you rather, in knowing that you're in the center of God's will and God is blessing you with what you have now, or would you rather have another job making $2,000 or $3,000 a week? Have a brand new car anytime you want it? I'm not speaking to you about yourself now. I'm speaking about myself. I know the reason God don't allow me to have all of that. I know the reason. You know what the reason is? I spend every dime of it. And I will spend it on things that is immaturity. Things that I don't need to be spending it on. But we need to teach people that as long as they're saved by the grace of God, they have all the blessings and they have all the fellowship that they want. As long as they can have fellowship with God. We need to have fellowship with Him. And when you can have true fellowship with Him, then you can have true fellowship in the house of God. And not only that, you can also say that, hey, that individual that just told that lie on me about 2 months ago, I love them. You can also say you love the one that despises you, that hates you. Yes, they may hate you. They may hate me. I don't hate them. I love them. The only thing that I hate is the sin that they are committed, because I know where the sin is going to occur. And that sin is going to come straight to hell. But they can bypass all of that with the Savior. He is the only one can change individuals' lives. I can't change no one's life. You can't, but He can. And all that believed were together and had all things common. That's when we come to the house of God. That's when we come and we gather together in one spirit, in likeness unto Him. We come with the common goal of blessing Him and worshiping Him. I believe with what we're missing out today, and I believe in what we're missing out on, is what God has in store, what God has right in front of us for the taking. What I'm speaking about: the house of God, the house of prayer. We've been back in the fellowship hall. Hey, it doesn't make no difference where you gather, as long as two or three are gathered in His name, you can have a worship service. Why? Because He is the one that we have everything in common with. And if one of us is
is away from the camaraderie or whatever you want to call it with him, if we're not in sync with him, then we're not in sync with each other. When I hurt, you should hurt. When you hurt, I should hurt. That's how close we need to be to God. If we're that close to God, when we hurt, the whole body will hurt. Because what happens when we come in together? What is it? We come in with one accord in unity. And we come in believing and knowing that we have all things common in him. And we can come and we can agree together that when something goes wrong, it just don't go wrong with me. Or it just don't go wrong with you. It goes wrong with the whole body. Why? The whole body. What did I say here the other week? Talking about the body of Christ. We come and we gather because we are the body of Christ. This makes up the body here at Faith Baptist Church, Ringo, Virginia, 24586. We make up the body right here in this little community, right here, the body of Christ. What I say the other week, if I got an ingrown toenail, I hurt. Now y'all know what an ingrown toenail and how it can hurt you. It can hurt you to the point that you don't know what to do. It hurts you all over. So if I hurt, you hurt. If you hurt, I hurt. We're all in pain together. And we should come to one in one accord together and touching the things of God. And all of them sold their possessions and good and parted them to all men, and every man had need. Now, I don't believe that this is maybe somewhere some of these people in the past has got messed up on. They talk about sell all the possessions. How many remember when what the names were and all that? They come up and they say, we need to sell all the possessions because in such and such date, the Lord's coming back after the church. The Lord's coming back after us. We need to sell everything we got, and we need to go out west. We need to go to a certain city out of west or a certain mountain. We've been having that going on for years. And they continually, daily, with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, and did eat thy meat, gladness with singleness of heart. In one accord. And I ain't speaking about no Honda Accord either. I'm speaking where we must come together. We should come together and we should be so tight as a church body here that as it on the pews that we sit on, where the thread there is woven so tightly, when you sit down, you can take it and press it down, and you cannot see through it. That's how close we need to be. We need to be so close that no one can see through us. Why? Because when they see through me, they see you backing me up. Or when they see through you, they can see me backing you up. We don't need to run down no churches. We don't need to say anything against Faith Baptist Church. We don't need to say anything about all the churches. What we need to concentrate on, we need to concentrate on what God has placed right here. And as long as I'm here in the pulpit, that's what I'm going to do. We need to concentrate on the Lord Jesus Christ and what He wants us to do. If you want fellowship with one another, that's the only way it's going to work. If you want fellowship with God, that's the only way it's going to work. You cannot go in between, because when you do, when you start at odds with one another, what are you brought in? You brought sin into the picture. We don't need to bring sin into the picture. There's enough sin out here in the world that as soon as we walk through them doors right there and go outside, we can almost leave a church service and we can go out there and we're supposed to be able to smell the fresh air. But sometimes we can go out that door and we can smell sin. Why? Because it's on a rampage. Breaking bread from house to house and eating thy meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. That right there, that last verse that I just read, adding to the church daily. It can happen today. It can happen today just as good as it happened back then. It can happen today just as good as it did back in the 40s. It can happen today just as good as it happened in the 50s. It can happen today just as good as it did back in the 60s and the 70s. It can still happen today. Why? Because God the Father is still on the throne. He is still the King of Kings and He's still the Lord of Lords. He is still the supreme being. It can happen today. But you know what it's going to take? It's going to take us to forget about everything that's around us. We need to be like that old farmer. When he goes out and he'll get his horses or mules and everything, he'll go out there and get the ground and plow the ground up and everything. And he'll go in there and he'll harness that old mule. And he'll harness the horse and everything. And he'll put the bridle on and he'll put the harness and everything around his neck. I don't know what that's called, but around his neck and everything. And then they'll put the plow lines up to it and everything. And then, before he gets started, after he hooked the plow up to it, before he gets started plowing, he will go up and adjust the blinder on the horn. He will adjust the blinder, but it will blind him. They won't be out here like that. Why? So when that mule goes down that road, that mule can't see nothing but straight ahead. That mule, if he turns his head like this, he still can't see over there. He can still see what's straight ahead, and he's not going to go one way or the other. Why? Because he don't know what's over there. That's the reason he will not go. We need to have the blinders fixed on our eyesight that we see nothing with the light that is ahead of us.
Talk about that light.
I know the children back there, and I'm probably all of us there at one time or another. You take a piece of paper and you take it and you kind of fold it up like that. You'll fold it up. Then you'll roll it on up and everything. So when at one end you got a big end. But a big end like that. See, if I look to the small end, the big end right here. Hold up on it and see. See this thing. We're supposed to be looking at the big picture. We're not supposed to be looking at the small picture. We must be looking at the big picture. But see, when I look through that picture now, it's small. What's around me is small. When I first got saved, that's what I was doing. I was looking through the small. I mean, I was looking through the large. Why? Because I thought I could see by then. I was looking through the wrong projector or whatever, how you want to say it or whatever. I was looking through the large end of the picture. I was looking at the larger space I hear, but that was wrong. But I come to learn within time. Instead of me looking in the small, where I could see. I mean, while I was looking in the large, I was seeing the small picture. But then when I turned it around, I come to learn now, I don't need to look at the small picture anymore. I learn now, I need to start looking at the larger picture. And when I started looking at the larger picture, then I forgot about myself. I started focusing on what God wanted out of me. Not what I wanted or what I needed from God, but what God wanted from me. And when I got to that state, I said, Lord, here I am. You know what you're getting. And if I gotta sit here, if I gotta stay right here and explain to you what you're getting. But a whole lot of time we won't talk back to him, but when we pray, we'll talk to God and everything. And we talk to God like he's an idiot. That's the way we sound to him. Because of some of the things that we asked him. Like he don't know nothing. Like he don't know nothing. But he knows it before I even think it. He knows it before I ever get there. But we need to praise God. Doesn't make no difference where at. People say, well, we can't praise God on a job. We can't pray on a job. We can't read scripture on the job. That's one thing that God has never given me. God has never given me the intelligence or what you want to call a memory, a brain, or anything. The way I can just look at something and I can read it, and if I read it, 2 or 3 times, I got it down, and I've memorized it. He hasn't given me that. But what he has given me, he has given me a few verses in the Bible that where he's allowed me to be able to remember. They cannot take his word away from my heart. Because it's embedded so deep within us that we can talk to people in such a way that they can't understand it. We can talk to them with love, with compassion, with concern. And that's what we need to do. We need to let them know that if they happen to come here to Faith Baptist Church, and once they walk in the door, that they can be greeted by the people, and the people will come in and meet them, and they will love them. unconditionally. That's what God says. He loved me unconditionally. So I'm no better than He is. So if He loved me unconditionally, the way He would go to the cross and die for my sin, to where I could bypass hell and where I could enjoy the blessings that He has for me and where I could get saved because of Him and Him only. I didn't get saved because I just come to church. I got saved because the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. And we must realize that God is a God of love. And God does not want anyone to die and go to hell. Even God Himself did not want Lucifer, which is called now Satan or the devil, to go to hell. He didn't want that. He didn't want him to go to hell. But when Lucifer said, God, says, you know something, I believe I could do just as good a job as you've done. I believe I can do just as good a job as you've done. So God, I think I'm on. I might try to take over. Well, see, God knew that. God knew what Lucifer was aiming to do. He knew all of that. But I believe also that God was heartbroken. His heart was broken then, because he had somebody there that was willing. There was one of his angels there in heaven to do what he thought he could do and do it the way that God wanted it done. Even today, I know people today that God is heartbroken over. Because of what? Because they've turned back to the sin. We should not hide anything from one another. We should not hide anything from one another. I mean, if it's something that is on your heart, then you need to go to God and you need to ask God to forgive you for that. If it's something that I need or something that I've done, then I need to go to God and ask God to forgive me for it. But if I have an ought against a brother or a sister in the Lord and something that maybe has come about, then I need to go to him. I need to go to him. But see, that's the very thing that people today, Christians, has forgot about. And they have forgot about two words that is in our English, our vocabulary, that people today, they don't even know how to say it anymore. And you know what them two words are? I'm sorry. If Christians would learn how to say, I'm sorry, then we wouldn't have to be, the church wouldn't have to be in a situation and the shape it's that they got themselves in. Why? Because you wouldn't have people over here that wouldn't speak to these people. Because I'm going to tell you, if you got people over here, and you got people over here, and if they won't speak to one another, between them two, somebody's not going to heaven. Somebody's not going to heaven. And I want my fellowship not to be broken with another brother or sister. That's the reason I'll go and I say I'm sorry. You can, after church, if you want to, you can ask my wife, do I ever tell her I'm sorry? Yes, and I do all the time. It's not because I've done anything wrong, but I want to make sure that I'm still able to say it. We'll be going down the highway. We'll be just driving down the highway. And all of a sudden I'll come and say, I'm sorry. We'll drive a little farther. I'll say, I'm sorry. She says, what are you sorry for? I said, I'm just trying to get a little on credit right now. I mean, because I know I'm going to end up doing something wrong that, you know, and we all do. We all are human. I have this human flesh on me. It's still sinful. I know I'm going to say something that's going to may hurt her feelings. And we all do. But all we have to do is say, I'm sorry. Would you rather say, I'm sorry to another brother or sister in the Lord, or to a family member, and still be able to go and speak to them? Then to not say anything. And then you go around here. The Lord won't speak to me. Just say, I'm sorry. If we do, we can just praise the Lord. We can praise the Lord. And I'm going to ask y'all a question. I know I've asked it before, and you're going to probably be tired of hearing it, but I can't help it. I just can't help it. Do you really want the church to grow? I want you to ask yourself the question, do I really want it to grow the way God wants it to grow? One individual can't do it. Two individuals can't do it. Three or four or five can do it. It takes the whole body to be united together and say, Lord, I may have been the problem. I don't know. If I'm the problem, the reason no more has come out since I've been here, I ask God to just remove me. Take me off of what y'all considering. I don't want to be nowhere to where I'm going to hinder God's work. And I'm saying it with an honest heart this morning. I don't want to be nowhere to where my Father cannot be honored and glorified, because He is worthy of much more than I can ever give Him. But I'm going to do my very best with His help. And it's going to take His help for me to be what He wants me to be. Not what I want to be, but what He wants me to be. Everyone stand. I'm going to ask Brother Bill if he would come and just play a song or whatever. But it's about 1 minute past 12, or right at 12 o'clock. I think this morning will be a good time, plus, you know, the weather's changed. And we should have a new outlook on life. We need to have a new outlook on what God's going to do here. We should say to ourselves, God, we know that with Your help, it can come back.
with your help. Yeah, you sing. You sing now. Thank you.